As we read every Sunday morning, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today across the building, and it is good that we can come together on this Palm Sunday communion, and we can acknowledge our Lord and Savior, for He has passed by this way by His Holy Spirit, through His Holy Spirit, and in His Holy Spirit today. And we're going to look today where that God truly lived that triumphant life that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. So if you would today, if you've got your Bibles, hold that up. That's the sword of the Spirit today. And those that are watching today, if you've got your tablet, whatever you have, iPhone, Android, Bible app, whatever you have today, the Family Bible, let's get into God's Word today. If you will go with me to Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 41st verse, Luke 19 and 41, and we want to look at this as time will permit as we continue to acknowledge our Lord and Savior on Palm Sunday today. Then let's look at this. Luke's Gospel 19 and 41. And again, if you are a visitor here today, we thank you for coming. There's visitor's cards in the Welcome Center. You can fill one of those out. We would love to let you know that we love you, that we appreciate you. We want you to know that this is the family of God, and we want you to experience the love here at Victory Fellowship, and we would love to let you know that today. Let's look here, 19 and 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. This is a passage that we're looking at that gives a vivid description of our Lord and Savior. And he saw the city and he wept over it, verse 42, saying, if you have known, even you especially in this your day, this thing that makes for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, verse 43, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, or embankment around you, surrounding you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. I want you to know today in Palm Sunday, this is called Palm Sunday because of the palm branches that were used as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. This was a triumphal entry that was going to take place. We even see this as the prophet Daniel lets us know this amazing prophecy 483 years before this actually took place. In Daniel, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse, this is what Daniel says. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in its troublous times, will take place. Yet we see clearly that it's recorded by the Gospels of all the writers. The setting of the scene is about 5 days before Passover. Jesus and the disciples are from Bethany. And most important of the feast of the year took place, and it began, as scholars believe, there were 300,000 people that were gathered on this day to see Jesus come through, riding on a donkey and coming into Jerusalem area. We see the past of the triumphal entry to Palm Sunday, but I want you to know today there was some tears that Jesus shed on this day. He clearly began to say, if you only knew who I was. You see, these people at this time thought he was a great prophet. They thought he was a great person, but they did not know that he was the Messiah. They did not know that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They did not know that he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And they did not know. They only knew of all of the good that they thought that they saw of him. And yet Jesus, riding on the donkey, began to call out and begin to say, if you only knew who I was, only if I could just gather you together, if only I could just hold on to you for a long time, if I could only just protect you, if I could only do that. You see, Jesus wept over his people. Jesus wept over Jerusalem of all that were there. Yet this lesson is about our Lord. How that he loves us. How that he longs for us. How that he wants us to have a personal relationship with him, not just on Sunday morning, not just on a certain day, but every day God is wanting us to have a personal relationship with him. In other words, he doesn't want us to worship him from a distance. He doesn't just want us to read about him. He just doesn't want us to hear about him. But he wants to come into our hearts and our lives, and he's wanting to set us free. He's wanting to save us. He's wanting to heal us. He's wanting us to be made and complete in him. I'm reminded in John's Gospel, the 12th chapter with the 13th verse. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. You know, as I studied over this passage and as I was preparing for this, you know, I thought in my mind, what did Jesus truly think? Because he knew this was the beginning of the cross. He knew that this was the beginning, that he was going to be nailed to a tree. This was a beginning that he was about to embark on. And yet his heavenly Father said that you must go this way. The heavenly Father said, I must bring an ultimate sacrifice, and the one and only sacrifice will be through my one and only Son, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Yet I'm reminded that Palm Sunday commemorated Jesus and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And today we are here to honor our Lord and Savior through communion, which commemorates his death, to know that he was headed to the cross. But if we can think a minute how that Jesus may have said in his mind, oh, if they would have just believed. Oh, if they would have had faith. Oh, if they would have could have understand my healing. Oh, if they could understand what I wanted to give them. Oh, if they could understand what I would want them to receive. You see, after all the healing was gone, all the miracles was gone, everything was gone, yet they worshiped him as Hosanna. But when they saw the miracle stop, they saw all the healing stop, they saw everything stop, after the parade of our Lord and Savior, they decided, well, I'm going on as usual, and I'm going to do my own thing, and now the party is over, so to speak. But I am reminded today that Jesus lets us know that we are to remember him, not only through the triumphal entry, not to only recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but to remember his sacrifice, to remember that the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross. He began to instruct his disciples, to let his disciples know that you are to communicate with one another, but then you are also to commune with one another. I see that the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, he says, for I receive from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In verse 25, he says, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. My first point today is this: Christians are to meet with for communion until he comes. Christians are to meet for communion until he comes. Jesus instituted communion to commemorate his death. Through the centuries, Christians have kept this appointment. And yet it seems like day after day, it seems to be less and less in our society. But how we as a church, how we as a body, as we that serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we must commune with one another and have communion in honor of our Lord and Savior. Why does Christians continue to commune? To remember his death, to rededicate their lives, to forgive one another, to obey regardless of the condition. And yet the question would be, what does communion mean to you today? What does communion mean to me today? Has communion become only a faithless form? Each communion expects Jesus and his return. Do you know Jesus could return today? We don't know. We're not even promised that. The angels in heaven do not know when God is wanting his son to come. But he could come today. But are we ready? Are we right? You see, each communion expects Jesus to return. My second point today is this: the message of the cross will endure until he comes. We must look to the cross. We must know that the cross is for all of us, including your pastor, that we all must come to the foot of the cross, whatever you and I deal with day in and day out. You may say, well, pastor, I'm not a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But all of us must come to the foot of the cross and know that through crucifixion, you and I can have victory, we can have power, and we can have what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have, because he has went through the triumphal entry. He's went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. And there's power from on high that you and I can receive day in and day out. Oh, give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to hold our head down. We don't have to say, oh my, woe is me. Listen, we can hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and know that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And know that he's with us every step of the way. Times may change, but not the message. Let me say it again. We may be living in turbulent times, and there may be some changes that's going on that even goes against our faith. It goes against our walk with God. But listen, the message has not been changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ fails not. He is right on course. He is right on time. And he is an on-time God. And he's going to carry us through as he has carried us through this pandemic. He's still going to be God. And he's going to take care of us. Listen, the gospel is unchanged. The gospel is unchanged. The gospel will stand the test of times. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Everything else may be going on fire that's in your life and everything around you, but God's word will stand the test of times. Listen, all sinners still need salvation. All sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are needing salvation day after day. Salvation was purchased at the cross. Even with the triumphal entry, as Jesus rode on that donkey, he knew that the cross was before him, but he could have stopped and said, I'm not going to do it. He could have told his Father, I'm not going to do it. But Jesus clearly said in Gethsemane, in the garden where he agonized with God, he said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done, Father, that I do what you've asked me to do. Listen. Salvation was purchased at the cross. The blood of Christ was also through the Old Testament sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. John's Gospel 1:29 says, and the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No remission of sin is without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. Money cannot buy salvation. 1 Peter 1:18 says this, as Peter writes, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without a blemish, without a spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and me today. Not with corruptible things, not with silver and gold. The cross is the theme of heaven's song. I am reminded in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who are pierced, has pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. The cross outlives its critics. Let me say it again. The cross outlives its critics. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I want to read this again because sometimes it's caught instead of being taught. Look at this. Catch this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, made that profession of faith, it is nothing but foolishness to you. But when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you ask him to come into your heart and in your life. Listen, it becomes power from on high. That saving grace, that saving mercy, the power of God begins to resonate in your heart and life, and you become the believer in Christ Jesus. My third point today, and I'm getting close to my closing here. The power of the cross will change lives until he comes. The power of the cross will change lives until he comes. You and I must go by the way of the cross. The cross is what's going to save our society. The cross is what's going to save this world. The cross is the one that we must go to, that we must look to, because he is the author. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. I am reminded through the power of God, it is unto salvation. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul writes, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. In other words, whoever hears the name of the Lord, they will be saved if they call out on the Lord Jesus Christ. God will come in to their hearts and lives and save them. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's what God's Word says. The blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross cleanses us. 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, not for some sin, not with part sin, but He cleanses us from all sin. If we have fellowship with one another." Did you know that? We must have fellowship with one another. I've said it, we'll say it again. If we don't feel the love in the church, if we don't have the bond of love, if we don't have the unity, how is the world ever going to see what this church can produce in Christ Jesus if the love of God and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness does not flow from this church? How can a world see what's going on until we begin to show the love of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness? Then that's when a world is going to see a change, because they're going to see something in you, they're going to see something in me, and they're going to say, whatever they got, wherever they're at, that's where I want to go. Listen, there's enough doom and gloom and agony and defeat in this world that we live in. And I've said it again, if you can't find peace in your church, you can't find the love and the mercy and the freedom. Where else can you find it, folks? You can't find it. But Jesus has orchestrated this for us. He has laid the roadmap out for us. He has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And He's wanting us to receive. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the Bible says, Jesus says, and all of these things shall be added to you. Seek Him. You see, we live in a society where we're seeking everything else that's around us. We're trusting everything that's else around us. We're believing about everything else around us, but we're not seeking His kingdom. We're not seeking what He loves. We're not acting on what He's doing. And we're challenged as a church through Palm Sunday to understand that it was not just a man that was riding on a donkey. It was not just a man that was passing olive trees in Jerusalem. But that was the Messiah. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. That's the one that's going to continue to sustain you, take care of you, and bring you through everything that you deal with in life. Listen, closing. Communion will always be relevant. It will always be relevant. We need to remember Christ and His death. We need to keep the cross and His coming in mind. These two gives incentives and the power for holy living. Remembering His death is more than taking the elements. Let me say it again. Remembering His death is more than taking the elements today. It is celebrating His love. It is giving thanks for His grace. It is praising God for His sacrifice. It is rejoicing in salvation. Communion is for those who have been born again. Communion is a time for making things right with God and others. My question today is this: are you ready for communion today? Are you ready for communion today? I'd like for everyone to stand with me across the building today. Listen. Anytime that I begin with communion here at this church, I always want to give people the opportunity to make things right in their heart before they partake of the Lord's Supper. Because that's what Jesus, neither are you or me are worthy, now hear me today, are worthy to take communion. You will never be worthy enough to take communion. But what we can do is, because of the sin nature and because the fall of man and because of where we're at right now, again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are worthy today, but we can get our heart where it needs to be to partake of the Lord's Supper. And He gives us that opportunity. In other words, the Apostle Paul, he writes and he says, let us examine our ways. Let's examine our hearts. As we go to the doctor, we get examination. Well, that's the same way it is spiritually. We examine our hearts. And today, if you will bow your heads and let us pray silently, if there's anything that you need to get right today to partake of the Lord's Supper. See, He doesn't want us to not take communion. He wants us to have communion because He says, I want you to remember me. So as every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to pray silently. And if there's anything that you need to get it right now as we minister communion today. Dear Heavenly Father, if our ushers will come forth today, we would like to minister communion to those today that are wanting to receive communion today. We will hand these out. These are disposable. So you'll have, the first layer will be a wafer, the next layer will be the juice. So ushers, if you would, take the center aisle and make sure everyone that would like to partake of the Lord's Supper today. Listen, if you made that profession of faith and you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, He wants you to take communion today. He wants you to take communion today because He wants you to remember Him as our Lord and Savior today. Make sure that everyone is able to peel their film off of their communion elements, making sure everybody can do that this morning. Communion ready today. And when He had given thanks, Jesus, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may take and eat of the bread. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come." You may take. And I would like to pray for those today that has participated in communion. The ushers will be coming around grabbing your cups. Now, I would like to pray for you as your pastor here that God's blessings will be upon you and your family, and that God will take care of you. If you would, bow your heads right where you're at. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, for those that are here today. The body of believers, Father, I pray, Lord, that they will be strengthened, that they will be renewed. Lord, that you will keep a protective hedge around every family here today, every person that's here today. Lord, we know that by your stripes we are healed, we are made whole. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that this will be a remembrance, that we will remember this day, that, Lord, that you will mark this down in heaven today, that we've acknowledged you today as our risen Savior, that you bled and you died for all mankind. And, Lord, we ask for your will to be done in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen, amen. Amen. Let me make some announcements here before you are dismissed today on Palm Sunday. Don't forget, Men's Fellowship is coming soon, April the 3rd at 9 a.m.